Hello there, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Time to follow up on last week's reflection by renowned theologian and author, Jesuit Father Gerald O'Collins, focusing on the Second Vatican Council.
My dear friends, I told you a story about Archbishop Michael Ramsay and how he led me to feel that the richest legacy of Vatican II would be Jesus himself. In fact, the Council issued no specific document about Jesus Christ, but his presence pervades all 16 texts. Let me single out three of these documents: the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, and the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World. All three documents have wonderful, lovely things to say about Jesus. The Constitution on the Liturgy, for instance, expected that actively sharing in the Mass should set the faithful aflame with Christ's love. His life-giving presence is at its most intense in the Eucharist, but it's also to be experienced when any of the sacraments is celebrated, when the Scriptures are proclaimed, and whenever the community prays and sings together in the name of Jesus. When we count our conciliar blessings, one of the first should be this rich and wonderful sense of the manifold presence of Christ in the public worship of the Church. Although liturgy is primarily concerned with worshipping God, it is, or should also be, the central moment when God speaks to his people, the moment when Christ is still proclaiming his gospel. The Council treasured the liturgy of the word and hoped that its climax, the homily, would convey the intense power of the risen Christ and the transforming grace of his good news. Sadly, homilies are still sometimes only a whimper rather than a bang. They can become tedious exercises in moralizing, little more than the exhortation, "Be good, be kind, and God save the Queen." But where a homily breaks open the words of Scripture and lets Christ speak to the questions, fears, and hopes of people, the powerful presence of the Lord comes through. That presence focuses and fosters our commitment to him, to one another, and to the world. Then a Christ-centered life entails constantly mulling over the Scriptures. That's the message of the closing chapter of the Constitution on Divine Revelation. This chapter dreams of a church living the Bible at every level of her existence, a church constantly learning to know Jesus Christ in a fresh and deep way through frequent reading of the Scriptures. Day by day, a Christ-centered life is nourished by the Scriptures, that divine reading, Lectio Divina, that Pope Benedict has been keen to emphasize. Then in the third millennium, the human family finds its future existence threatened in all kinds of ways. More than ever, it needs the message of Christ expressed through Vatican II's Constitution on the Church in the Modern World. He is the light of the whole world, the full and final key to what human life is ultimately about. This document from the Council never loses sight of the Son of God, who has truly become one of us. He worked with human hands, thought with a human mind, and loved with a human heart. What the Council wanted in its last and longest document, the Constitution on the Church in the Modern World, was to spread a life-transforming experience of Jesus. One might sum up its deepest message by applying some words from a former general of the Jesuit order, the saintly Father Pedro Arrupe, himself a participant in the Council. All in love with Jesus, stay in love with Jesus, and that will decide everything. With great gratitude, we remember Vatican II and its great legacy, the call to live a more Christ-centered life.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Vatican Radio.